Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Josh Brown.
Hello.
And Mr. Ben Roy Turner.
New generation, new intros.
I know, a whole new generation. Well, same intro for the Wednesday podcast, but we're coming to you from a series of dark rooms, but at least we're at home, but recording late in the day on a Tuesday. We just thought we'd do a sort of general PS5s out in the wild type podcast. You guys managed to finally get systems in amongst the stock shortages. So I thought we'd just start with general thoughts on the system. Has it lived up to the hype, Josh Brown?
Oh, it's been such a weird one, Scott, because it's been the only, you know, console generation that I've worked and followed. Like, every single bit of info I'd known beforehand, which did somewhat rob it of some kind of magic. You know, I remember getting the PlayStation 4 and I hadn't even seen the boot up screen. I was treating that like it was like this big thing that I'd never seen before. Mm-hmm. But even with that in mind, even though I pretty much knew everything I was getting, it's still been something of a delight. You know, every time a new generation comes around, I always feel like there is a sense of excitement, you know, like gaming Christmas or whatever. And what I really appreciate about the PlayStation 5 is that it feels different from the PlayStation 4. You know, a lot of it is intuitively a follow-up to the systems that were integral to making that previous console a success. Mm-hmm. But you've got like the new dashboard, you've got this new UI, you've got the new way the menus work. You've got everything feels new, not to mention the look of the console, not to mention the controller itself. So because of that, it's just felt good to get to know it and explore everything that it has to offer.
Where do you guys come down on the PS5 using the same beep as the PS4? Some people couldn't get past that.
Sure. You know, didn't notice that.
It's the exact same beep.
I prefer it because as much as Josh loves these new menus, I'm like, you didn't really need to change anything menu-wise. Like, you could have made the menus like super 4K HDR and I'd have been just fine, to be honest. Uh-huh. I'm still trying to learn little quirks, like how to turn the machine off. Like, if it wasn't for listening to some podcasts beforehand in America, I would have had to Google how to turn the thing off.
What do you mean you didn't know how to turn it off?
Just because, like, yeah, I'm used to holding down the button, man. Like, if I can't do that and have my little side menu, and then game base is now your friends and trophies are buried a layer down.
Go on.
Guys, man, like, I don't know how to exit parties. Every time I join with my friends, I'm there for 10 minutes. I still don't know. I just sort of fluke my way into it. Like, right. I have no idea where the party screen is.
It's so bad. Yeah, so you're like, you're an eternal party forever and you don't make a new one. It's just like, oh, the chat you had. Because it's basically you're just joining a text chat but using voice, which is like, what?
I was just because, okay, so very quickly, Ben Roy, did it live up to your expectations? And then we can dive into more specific stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good headphone stand over there. Let's
say. It is nailing being a really good headphone stand.
But no, for me, quickly, I will say, I based the PS5, the box itself and everything running. Loved it. There was no problems, and I thought it would be a little bit more awkward.
Okay. Have you found have either of you guys found the like the shape of it, the look of it in amongst your room? Like, Ben Roy, yours looks pretty snug, but a lot of people have talked about it not fitting into their entertainment centers and stuff like that. Like, Josh, did you find once you got it out of the box and everything, it fit in, or is it a big bulky boy?
No, it was a big bulky boy. A huge, huge, huge boogie boy. Like I said, I took the Friday off work, got it on the Thursday night. Mm. And on the Thursday night, I just sort of plonked it wherever I could. I was just like, right, I don't want to mess around with it. It's going there for tonight. We'll sort it out afterwards. And then I ended up spending like most of my Friday off cleaning my TV area just to fit it in. I had to take out the PlayStation VR. That's no longer alive. That's
he's now not around anymore.
Down there. He's old news. He's languishing in there with the Xbox One. So I had to rearrange everything to get it underneath. And to be honest, I'm a bit disappointed because I actually like the look of it. You know, it is garish. It is this weird thing, but I actually appreciate just how kind of much of a statement it is. So the fact that I can't have it stood up anywhere kind of bums me out, but it is just sort of out of sight, out of mind at the moment. I can't even see it right now, but right. I like that it's there in my home to show off. I was on a Zoom call with some friends for a birthday thing on Saturday, mm-hmm. and I was like showing them it, you know, I was like holding the MP.
Taking up your entire screen with it. It is like a giant binder or a folder or something. So in terms of like party stuff and, you know, like checking out different party chats and the way that it handles it and all the game-based stuff and the switcher, the sort of double tap switcher thing, which has a mind of its own at this point. Like if you double tap the button, it's supposed to show you the last thing that you were doing. Like, you know, it'll show you the game that you might want to jump back into, but certain apps prioritize themselves over it, or at least I've found since launch, because when I was doing the review, Spotify and various media apps weren't live yet, or they didn't want us talking about them, the ones that were. And so if you use Spotify on it, when you double tap the button, it defaults to the music player and not the game that you would have switched back to. I don't know if you guys used much of the quick switch thing on PS4 anyway, but if you found like weird quirks, like Benroy, you mentioned the spongy button, holding it, pressing it, stuff like that.
I've not used the quick switch, and I probably never will, because it just seems like one of these things when they add like 17 new features to an iPhone that I just don't need, and then they bury the thing that I want to use further.
Scan your finger to log in.
Yeah, I can't do that anymore, mate. There's no fingerprint scanner. It's my face. I don't like how they've restructured the price system, which they were doing before on the PS4, but you know, you've just got to live with it and learn sort of thing. Mm. It's more... I'm already looking forward to the first over. Like, they've never really overhauled their UIs, right? But I would like them to maybe do that, like bring trophies back to the forefront, for example.
Quite like the card system? Because the thing is, like the way the card system and the activities and stuff, that's pushed me towards trophies in a way that I haven't been bothered about 100% completion in that way since like the 360 era.
Cards are fine, but like I'm talking about on the main set of stuff when you've got like your profile, you've got your profile, then trophies and things now. And how they're organized when you go into the trophy menu, it's like it's side on rather than downwards right. now. And it's just like they're bigger and bulkier and you can't observe more as you go. And there are little things like that that I'm just going to complain about and men about because I don't like change. I want things to be the same. And I miss my dynamic background because I had such a good Last of Us Part 2 one. And now it's just dead because it's useless. But
do you think they'll patch them back in though? Like, because for me, that was one of the first things I noticed was that you can't set a custom theme. Like each game you're highlighting is your theme.
That was like the Xbox and how the Xbox has been pushed. Weirdly, the Xbox One, Xbox Series S, Series S? Yes.
S is the one you have. I'm with the X.
That doesn't do it anymore. That now has its own weird green background that doesn't have the game background. So they've kind of switched places, the consoles. So now PlayStation is doing what Xbox did last gen and vice versa. But it's just little things that annoy me. But for the most part, I can't. It's over there. If anyone's watching, like I wouldn't like to have it lying down. I need it stood up. I need it to make a statement.
I was going to say, like, have any of us tried lying it down? It feels like you're breaking it when you start lying it down. It doesn't feel right. It's a weird shape.
I'm going to buy a whole new entertainment system center around the end of the year next year, so I can get one that will have it stood up. Because at the moment, my TV is just on the table, and it's time to grow up and get a nice. Waste money on a nice thing.
I don't know. Josh, you said you cleared out a lot of space. Are you going to put your PS5 sideways?
Mine is sideways currently.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Of course it is, mate.
Yeah, it's sideways because it's literally the only place. Like, I've got a really small flat. I quite like my flat, not complaining, but it's really small and there's no place for PlayStation 4 or PlayStation 5 except underneath the entertainment system. So it's on its side. It looks awful. Looks terrible. I have to put my baby outside, out of view. Wow. And I want to stand it up. I want to be like Ben Roy. I want to put it up and I want to have the gimmicky headphones so when people come in, you know, and I can just point at it and go, look, like I'm David Brent in The Office, you know what I mean? Just like, hey, hey. What about this? Hey.
It was the first thing when the person I'm seeing when she came in and she was like, that's a lot bloody bigger than I thought it'd be. I was like, yeah, look at the boxes, like the size of her.
Which is what you wanted to say, mate, when she comes in.
But not in
eight. Yeah. And then a lad banter for the boys.
It's after 5 o'clock. It's all the rules are out, mate. Rules
anyway,
flying.
It's not about how big it is, how you use it. How do you think the PS5 uses its DualSense, Scott? I want to know that.
Well, see, I was going to fill up. That's the thing that I think, obviously, during the review period, the two games that, you know, that I got to review the console with were Astro, which obviously built in to show off the DualSense, and Spider-Man. And I thought it was kind of cool that, you know, when you play Spider-Man, when you start doing like swings and stuff, you can kind of feel a little click in, like, you know, you sort of push the trigger down. There's a tiny little bit of depression about halfway through that I assumed was representing him like firing a web out. I think that's kind of cool. It is weird, though, because me and Josh were saying this morning that on Call of Duty, for as kind of fun as it is when you first put the haptics on and you fire like a big rattly AK rifle or something and your controller is rattling and the, you know, the triggers are a bit harder to push down and stuff, that feels cool. But long term, like, I've honestly got hand cramps from using the DualSense like multiple days in a row with games that do have so much tension in them. Games like The Pathless, Call of Duty, you know, that even Demon's Souls, if you use a bow and arrow like that, it'll fight you a bit when you pull the bowstring back. And I think that hours on end does actually have an effect on me. And so I ended up turning off haptic controls when I was online for another separate reason, which is when I'm in multiplayer, I can't get multiple shots off in a row because it's harder to do it. I'd rather just have more of like a feather trigger. Josh, how have you found it? Because we sort of agreed on Call of Duty multiplayer, but how have you found all the haptic stuff?
Yeah, totally. I mean, like, the haptics in general and the controller in general, like, I just love it. I think it's so responsive, it's so dynamic, and it feels like something that I've never felt on a gaming pad before. You know what I mean? It is something new, and it is something that like made me giddy when I was playing it on certain games. But it is interesting that I have turned it off on Call of Duty Cold War multiplayer, because maybe it was because I played like 10 hours of this on the PlayStation 4 without it. So then it was just completely throwing me off even more. But yeah, I felt like I was at a disadvantage, like not only getting used to the recoil of the guns in the game, but getting used to how they affect my actual hands and how much I can press down on triggers, how much I can fire off, how that affects my aim and stuff. So I turned it off for that, but I've got it on for campaign and zombies, and it's just, it is a bit more immersive. It does give you that visceral kind of kick, that feedback. Though, like you, after using it in a 3-hour zombie sesh last night, I was using a semi-automatic rifle, so I was pressing it for every single one.
Your hands just locked in a claw shape for the rest of the night.
Yeah, and I was just like shooting through like hundreds of zombies, and my finger, my like bit between my finger and thumb did start to cramp, and I thought, ooh, right, I can't keep doing this for much longer. But I mean, I suppose that's potentially, you know, that's like a long-term issue. That was after 3 solid hours of play, you know what I mean?
Because I think
ultimately they're good.
Yeah, I like the idea of when I first played Black Ops Cold War, and I was trying my different loadouts and stuff, and I went to like a single shot rifle, and the trigger felt heavier, so I switched to something else, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool that the actual feel of the weapon is the thing that I don't like. And then I sort of like started switching around. But at some point, the variation that you want to have in a multiplayer game where you want to try a different loadout or a bunch of different weapons, like, wins out over the fun, like the just sheer kind of gimmicky kind of fun of like having these sort of extensions to the controller. Benra, what's your thoughts on haptic stuff,
man? Like, I've only played
and monkey climbing
Demon's Souls, but there's not really anything in Bugsnax. Demon's Souls, I found out, right, I've not really used a bow and arrow in that game yet. That probably tells you how far I am in that game. But for Monkey Climbing Simulator 2020, I was ruined by the end of that, like,
which is a game in Astro, we should say, but carry on.
Yeah, and when you've got to hold the controller, you got to pull down the triggers, swish your wrist to the left, climb up. And I was honestly like, I don't know whether it's like I've got like a arthritis in my family line, where my hands are sort of like dying as they go along, but I was so done by the end of playing Astros. Like, I was that a lot of the move-ins and a lot of the clickings, and if they're really sort of tough, even the bow and arrow after a while, like, I hope there are, like, when we get to like Horizon Forbidden West, like, there'll be settings like, say, maybe right, when I'm playing it in the morning, yeah, give me all the bow and arrow action. But if I'm playing if I'm playing at night, and, you know,
if I've had a hard day, yeah,
I want to be able to, you know, reduce it a bit and like reduce all haptic settings down.
You can do that. If you go in the system settings, you can make it so that it's way more sensitive, or you can just turn them off altogether if that's easier.
Yeah, I'm trying to play the game how they wanted it.
That's my thing.
Yeah, and it's just, I just don't know. I can't be going, like, if every game was that monkey climbing game in Astros, I might retire and go just live on the X Series S.
I didn't realize, like, I'm doing all right at the monkey game. Like, I love the inbuilt time trial.
It screwed me up, yeah.
Because I've had a back and forth. Me and Ash have been trying to beat each other on the time trial stuff, because I was waiting for you guys to log on it.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And I don't know if you guys have logged stuff on the time trial side yet on the, I forget what you call that portion of the game. Okay, both of you guys should log some time trial stuff. But the monkey thing, I didn't realize I was that good at it, but I beat her time by about 10 seconds. Then she trounced me on the mountain run thing, the first one. But that whole method of getting into it, like, I quite like that. Like, Josh, have you, like, what do you think of them extending, like, factoring in the gyroscopes and the motion controls and stuff, as well as everything else?
I did dig it. I'm half with Benroy, because at the time I wasn't expecting it, and it was the act of having to move my wrist that I just wasn't here for. I was like, I've had a hard day as well.
I liked it.
I just wasn't in the right mindset for it. You know what I mean? Like, playing it the day afterwards, I was here for it. I knew exactly what I was doing, and I was like, yes, I want to make full use of this controller. And I think, like, Astro is just such a bundle of joy anyway, but it shows off that controller so well. Like, again, I'm talking about having this smile on my face. I was had that all the way through, but I remember even just moving Ian Astrobot for the first time, and the tip
Alan
tapper
Stro,
of his feet,
yeah, go on.
The tip of tapper of his feet on, like, any surface, like, blew my mind. I was playing with my girlfriend, and I was like, "Here, you've got to try this. Feel the tip of tapper of these tiptoes, man." And she was like, "Oh, yeah, it's certainly someone walking, all right." And I was like, "No, you don't understand.
It's, you want to walk on the sand, then you want to walk in the water, and then you want to go on the ice." The ice was the one that got me the most, where I was like, "It feels lighter, even though it's, like, not. It's the same thing." Yeah. That's a really good segue, though, into, I was going to ask for you guys, and you might not have hit this year, is there a moment where you thought, like, okay, this is the next generation, this feels like, you know, it's worth the money, it's worth the next step, you know, step up? Because I'll be honest, I didn't get that until I and it's weird because the game's getting dragged and I need to play a lot more of it to see how it goes, but my feeling for, oh my god, this is next gen, was actually Godfall. Because as much as I think Spider-Man Miles Morales is a hell of a tech showcase, I love the ray tracing and everything, it wasn't until I played something that was built for the PS5, built for the next generation, like Godfall and like Demon's Souls. And Demon's Souls is great, but Godfall is just, especially at the beginning, is just this crazy fireworks display of every possible particle effect, ray tracing effect, lighting, everything they could possibly throw at the screen. And that made me just, it just washed over me. And I was like, oh my God, this couldn't be done on a PS4. This is insane. And that was my sort of, like, next gen moment. But have you guys had that yet, where it feels like next gen has arrived with something?
you talking about Godfall, man, every single time.
It's not good. It's not actually good.
I want to buy it. I
don't buy it.
Everything you just said there, though, it just sounds amazing. Like, that's what I want out of a new console. Funnily enough, it's actually probably Cold War that gave me the, oh my God, this is next gen feel. Not necessarily in the graphics, because I think sometimes the graphics is kind of falls down and the ray tracing isn't awesome, but it was when I switched to 120 FPS for the first time, like as a consoleman, I've never experienced that before. And fortunately, like, I have a telly that sadly can't do it in 4K, but it can do it, you know, boost the performance and play multiplayer for the first time in 120 FPS. But especially playing last night in Zombies, you know, originally I was playing it with all of, like, the graphic settings as high as it can go, like ray tracing on, HDR and stuff like that. And it looked gorgeous. It was a great experience. But when there was so many zombies on screen, like, the performance just tanked and the frame rate came to a stutter. So I had one game with 120 FPS on it and it was just buttery smooth. And I thought, this is something that I just couldn't experience on the past gen, you know what I mean? Like, this is something else. This justifies, for me, like, the price. And it was that. And also, like, people are kind of talking about Miles Morales, like, it isn't this kind of graphical showcase. But for me, I think that's just, I think it just looks gorgeous, man.
I think No, it does. It does. It's just the thing that for me was like when I was playing through, I was lucky enough to get given the PlayStation 5 for review, and I was playing through everything, and I was like, oh my God, this looks gorgeous. And I remember when me and Adam Cleary did the launch stream, and he was like, oh, is this it? Is this like the next generation? And to my mind, I was like, well, yeah, I think so. Like, it's capable of doing ray tracing. It's obviously, you know, it's running in 4K and everything looks amazing, and there's so much detail and texture detail and everything else. And I was like, this is the next generation. It's going to be more iterative. It's not going to be this eye widening thing. But then, like I said, later on, you play Godfall or you see it, or you play Demon Souls, and it's like, okay, that's the next generation. Like, that's the thing that couldn't be done on the previous cycle of hardware. And it's not that Miles Morales doesn't look gorgeous, but Demons is in a whole other level, or at least it is to me anyway.
For me, I've only really experienced Demons as the proper game, because nothing else really out of the launch lineup is tickling my fancy. Like, I'm not going to get Miles Morales until I eventually play Spider-Man one day. I'm sorry. And the Call of Duty, like, I can't justify Bobby Kotick's £70 tax to play Call of Duty. Maybe I'll
just get Modern Warfare or get Warzone.
Maybe I'll play Modern Warfare. I've beaten Warzone. I don't need to play it anymore. But playing the last... I won, so it's fine.
Okay.
Playing The Last of Us Part 2 in HDR for the first time, and like 4K, and because I was one of those people that had pretty much the launch PS4, so being able to play The Last of Us Part 2, right, without wearing headphones, and your PS4 not screaming at you, it was so, it was beautiful, it was lovely. And then also playing PUBG in 60 frames. Now, I've not got a personal computer. I'm talking to you on a Macintosh, which doesn't have PUBG.
And it's from 1986, carry on.
Yes, and God rest his soul, I can't remember his name now.
Steve Jobs?
Steve Jobs, yeah. I was thinking of Randy Pitchford, Godfall's Randy Pitchford. just playing PUBG on 60 frames, because it defaults to super graphics. I went, let's try 60 frames. I was like, oh! And it's just like the weird movements. And I felt like I was watching The Hobbit in that weird frame rate, but in a good way. Because I'm not technical, but I can just say it was really smooth and buttery. And I could barely grab onto it because it was all like a fish.
I have a version of that game that matches up to when we initially saw it back in, 2016 on PC. And it looked incredible. Then you played the Xbox version and it looked like Google Earth. So I'm glad they've managed to catch up.
Because I was testing, getting in the car and spinning around and trying to blow things. That will really screw up the frame rate. And it was holding up. And, you know, I was like, you know what? I think we're finally here with this.
I love that mindset that we all get in, where it's like, I wonder if I can break it. I wonder if I just sort of blow a load of stuff up. Oh, screen tearing, is it? Like, yeah, okay. Josh, what was the thing you were going to say? You did it. You did the finger guns, mate.
I can't remember. I think I just was going to say that Ben Roy was on about, like, the fan and stuff, you know, being able to play The Last of Us without headphones, because otherwise, on the PlayStation 4, you can't hear it because the PlayStation 4 is about to take off. I had a similar issue with God of War, because I was replaying that on the PlayStation 4 and I finished it on the PlayStation 5. And, like, just being able to hear without that thing whirring in the background, I thought, this is next gen. And also joining parties without parties just crashing. I don't know if that's a problem that's plagued you guys, but on my PlayStation 4 Pro, like, every time I try to join a party, my entire thing just freezes up and doesn't work. So I'm like,
the PS4 Pro's menus are a living hell. Like, they've been frame ratey and crap for ages. But I think it's a series of, like, quality life improvements that obviously, like, factors into that stuff too.
Also, can I just say, can I really appreciate how I can just download a save and it just works and I can launch?
It doesn't do that, mate.
The Last of Us Part 2, if you go and download your save from the cloud and load it up, it just works, my friend.
Oh, if you try to play Mortal Kombat 11, it doesn't.
Ah, but who's playing Mortal Kombat 11 anymore? Like these fighting game fans.
Bambo's in it now, mate.
But for a certain amount, for the same amount of games I've played, like, I mean, it's such an improvement. And having smashed out a lot of Resident Evil 7 this year and then getting to touch it for a bit on PS5 before I play an Xbox One, Series S, those names, I hate them. Like, that also just works, like, to a point where I wasn't expecting. I'm going to finish the Uncharted trilogy that I was meant to play, you know, PS3 games on the PS5 because I live like that. But I'm just looking forward to getting back to all these games, finishing Bugsnax, and then trying to do more Demon Souls, really.
You need to say any sort of take and then go, because I live like that.
Because I live like that, man.
Nail it down. Josh, were you going to throw something in there, or are you done, fam?
Maybe. I think I was going to talk briefly about frame rates, because I like that Demon's Souls starts in performance mode, which is something I don't usually do. I normally go for the graphics. Mm-hmm. So just to test it out, like, I knocked it down to cinematic, and I was like, how have I lived like this? Like, knocked it down from 60 to 30. And I was like, this looks choppy. This is, like, how do my eyes think?
It must
this
be how
is
Rich
normal.
Sees the world, because Rich has always telling us that 30 is impossible, and we're like, no, man, it's fine, man, but it's absolutely crazy. Not.
The only time I've ever experienced that, sorry, jumping your point, was when, you know, Last of Us Remastered, when you went to 60 and you went back to 30, it's like, ugh. But sorry, Josh, your point.
Sorry, I was going to talk about my one major bugbear, and that's the storage. I'm just going to leapfrog everything.
Oh, God, yeah. We have a bit of a shorter podcast today just because we are recording later in the day, but we will obviously do so much more PlayStation and Xbox coverage going forward, but we can totally end on the storage point, because I maxed out storage on day one of getting the thing.
Yeah, me too. Like, I was going to do the data transfer, you know, when you link your consoles and you take everything over. Mm-hmm. Well, I started that off, got up the next morning, assuming everything would be rosy, and just didn't have the space. Had like 250 gigabytes that was just in the cloud somewhere. So I had to cancel that. And I kind of wish I didn't do it, because now I've got 3-4 games on my system. I've got Cold War, I've got Modern Warfare and Warzone. And I have Miles Morales, and like, those are my games. I can't download anything else. I've got AstroBot for a bit, but AstroBot had to be deleted now. You know what I mean? I've deleted parts of Cold War. It's just, we always knew this is going to be an issue, but like, to have it maxed out straight away and to not be able to download some of the games that I've bought and want to play, like Bugsnax, I can't download. I'm just going to have to get to that when I finish Cold War and uninstall Cold War. It's like, there's already a level of micromanagement that I'm not here for, and that's one big issue with it.
That idea of, like you said, like rotating something out was something that we hit across maybe a couple of years into the last gen, when the average game file size started getting so much bigger. But starting there is a bit disappointing. I think they could have done a lot more with internal storage. Benroy, quick thoughts on storage.
I've had to already conserve, because I'm planning to play God of War at one point soon, but it's not something I'm just going to jump back into. I'm replaying it, should I say. So I've got it there, sitting there. It's obviously taking up storage. I'm replaying The Last of Us Part 2 at the moment with someone else, and I don't want to delete that. But that's smaller than I think it is on the PS4, which is fine.
I think you've got a file reduction,
Yeah, but I'm already the same sort of thing. Like, I've got like 100 gigs, 150 gigs free, because I've just not downloaded so much. Like, stuff like, I like to play some beefy online games. So, like, Rainbow Six was like almost 100 gigs back in the day. Battlefront 2 is over 100 gigs on PS4. So, things like that, I need the new storage systems to come along, so I can have my 3 or 4 multiplayer games that I roll into with my friends, as well as, you know, like the tentpole games that we all like to play on our own sort of thing. So yeah, it's going to be a problem at this point, but as soon as Bugsnax gets that platinum tonight or tomorrow, it's getting deleted, son, and it's gone. Because that's how I live.
That is how he lives.
I'll tell you what, I'm not sure if you guys have like come into this issue before, but when it comes to like Cold War especially, it just wants to download the PlayStation 4 version, and I'm like, why? I don't have the space for it, you know what I mean?
Well, there's always that. I mean, that we pretty much need to wrap up, but that thing where they've sent a patch out, because I've seen a few different US users posting that they've got different screenshots of the home dashboard, so it literally comes in big letters like PS4 version. Do you want to change the game version? Because I remember when you guys got them last week or whatever, and you were like, "How do I get off this PS4 version? Because it just keeps suggesting the wrong one." And you literally have to go on that 3-button thing and be like, "No, I bought a PS5. I want the new one." And I think that that's something that Xbox has just done, is just head and shoulders above with it. Smart delivery optimization for the S and the X, like they, it's a world apart. Like if you're going between both systems, like I'm lucky enough to do myself, like the Xbox side of things is so much more tighter in regard to all that. There's not a single bugbear with it. It literally just works.
Yeah, it's just the storage that we need to sort out, because on the Xbox side, I've got Halo Master Chief Collection and Gears 5 on there. That's like a third of my Xbox already. So like, you know, and they can't be deleted. If you have an Xbox, you've got to have them on there. That's just the law. That's just what Phil Spencer said. But well, I'm rattling on now and we should probably go.
Master Chief is literally inside every Xbox Series console. So it's written in. But yeah, like I said, we'll continue doing as many podcast pieces of coverage, chatty faces, whatever going forward. Because there's endless stuff to talk about with the end of the generation and the beginning of a new cycle. For now though, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Oh, goodbye.
Oh, and Josh Brown.
Goodbye.
And we'll catch you all next time. Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.